192.
Oh.
to lead. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Matthew, we're coming down to the end of Jesus' life and ministry here on this earth. And he, at the last message, he was arrested. And they have all intentions of putting him on the cross and trying to get rid of Jesus. But you know what? My Father up in heaven had all intentions as well to put his Son on that cross that he might die for your sin and my sin, that here in 2016, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from your sin, and he will give you everlasting life. But you got to see yourself as the sinner for whom he died. And then if you trust him from your heart, the best way you know how, call upon him to save your soul. He will do that. And he can do that. And he's the only one who can do that. But let's look at these things here this morning and see what we can find out about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like you to, first of all, be reminded of what Peter said, all right? You're in chapter 26, but take a look at verse 33 and 34. Peter answered and said unto him, that be unto Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be what? Offended. Great words, huh? Great words. I wonder, do you think they're going to be fulfilled? No. I think you know that he failed. Verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee. Now this is Jesus saying to Peter, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So let's now go on over, having read those things, just keep that in the back of your mind, what Peter said and what the Lord said about Peter. But now we want to look at verse 57. Verse 57, they've arrested the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas has already betrayed the Lord with a kiss in the garden there. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came with the army with them to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know how that Peter pulled out his sword and struck off the servant's ear. And the other gospel shows us how that Jesus put that ear back on, healed him back up again. And later on, when Peter is denying the Lord, a relative of that man whose ear was cut off and healed actually accuses Peter of being a disciple of the Lord. And of course, we know Peter denied it. That's how close all these things happen together here. But now in verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Remember this morning in Sunday school, we talked about Jacob's dream, angels ascending and descending. Here Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. Now, he's standing right there saying, you're going to see me coming from heaven, which tells me He had to ascend up into heaven in order to come back down from heaven. So there's the ascension and descension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes saying, excuse me, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? And we'll stop right there for a moment. Notice early morning meeting of the Sanhedrin. I wonder if they ever met this early ever before. It's amazing when men have a problem with God, it seems that they can gather together, you know, against God. And at the most unusual hours as well. This is very early in the morning, folks, when they gathered together here and laid hold on Jesus and brought him to what we would refer to as the Sanhedrin, or the council of the high priests and scribes and elders. They were all assembled together there. You can be sure the sect of the Pharisees and the sect of the Sadducees were there. And anyone else who was interested in this was there. And someone else was interested too. Peter. Peter. The one who just moments before reached and pulled his sword out, was ready to fight for the Lord, was unwilling now to stay with Jesus. All four Gospels record the denial of Peter of his Lord and Savior. Can you just imagine Peter's feeling about that? All four Gospels report that he denied the Lord. I wonder, have you ever been in that same situation yourself, having denied the Lord? Maybe in just a small way, maybe not so well known as Peter's denial. Did you ever back off from being a witness for the Lord? Did you ever consider your own safety, your own well-being, maybe if you spoke out for the Lord and so you kind of kept it in? Peter unwilling now to stay with Jesus. Peter was ready to die for Jesus when it seemed clear that Jesus would do something and defend himself. He had just told them, yeah, take a sword with you. He was ready to stand then when he thought, this may be the time when Jesus overthrows the Roman government and sets up his kingdom, and I'm going to be right there with him. He was all ready and willing to stand with the Lord when future events were certain as far as he was concerned, but he was not willing to stand with the Lord when future events were uncertain. I'm not sure what's going to happen to Jesus. He didn't stand up for himself. He could have wiped out all those soldiers coming to arrest him. And he could have led a rebellion against Rome and set up Israel as the main character, the main player here. And I could be right at his side, along with John, James, and all the rest of us, who were arguing just days before, can I sit on your right hand? And in fact, their mothers came and pleaded with the Lord for their sons to have a special place in the kingdom. Peter was all ready to fight for that, you know, in the flesh, ready to go. But Jesus had said to his disciples days before, we're going to Jerusalem. And the scribes and the chief priests are going to condemn me, and I'm going to be crucified, and the third day I will rise up from the grave. Let's go. The Bible says in several of those occasions they didn't understand. They couldn't understand what he meant by that. And on the road to Jerusalem they went, and there they are. Peter, moments before, pulled the sword out, ready to fight, set up the kingdom. Now the one who he thought would be king and who would stand up is now arrested, standing before a council of his enemies and saying nothing. And he was not willing to stand with the Lord when future events were uncertain. I wonder, aren't there a few things that we wonder about even? We talk about the rapture of the church, don't we? Have you ever seen a rapture? No. Has it ever happened before? No. People make fun of it. Oh, you people believe in the rapture. The Lord's going to come back and take you out of this world and take you to heaven. Yes, I do believe that. He told me he was going to do that. In fact, he's in heaven now preparing a place for me. A mansion, I'm told. I'm looking forward to it. And it's Jesus who said that. And he's the same one whom the prophet said he would come, be born of a virgin, perform miracles and everything, and then go to the cross and die for me. All that's been fulfilled. I believe this will be too. Are you willing to stand with the Lord, even when future events are uncertain as far as the world is concerned? And maybe even in your own mind as well. But you got the Bible telling you these things. And Peter just heard the Lord say, before the cock crows twice, Peter, you're going to deny me three times today. Wow. Well, let's leave that for just a moment. Keep those thoughts in your mind, okay? And we come to this mock trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two witnesses were needed, by the way, in order to fulfill the law's requirement to condemn a man. You had to have at least two or three witnesses. So they opted for two. If they could just get two, they could condemn the Lord Jesus Christ. That's under the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 19, verse 15. But I think it's interesting the way the Matthew, the writer here, says that they sought, look at verse 59, they sought false witness against Jesus. They sought for false witness. You know why? So they couldn't get a true witness. That's why. They couldn't find anybody that could ever find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord even said one day, can any of you find fault with me? Wow. Now, I'll tell you what, there's not a single one of us here this morning who could stand and say to someone, can you find any fault with me? Oh boy, the list would be long. Give me another piece of paper. My pen ran out of ink. Whatever. But not the Lord. The only way they could condemn him is to get a false witness against him. That's how wonderful my Savior is. That's how wonderful it is to know that I'm trusting in someone like that for my eternal destiny. I'm trusting in Jesus for eternity. And no one could find fault with him. So they sought false witnesses. And the false witness came in there. And they said, oh yeah, we heard him say he's going to destroy the temple of God and build it up in 3 days. Like as if he meant that literally. He meant that spiritually, about the temple of his own body. How you can put me to death, but 3 days later, I'm going to conquer the grave. Amen. What a good gospel we have to give people. It's a gospel of hope that reaches beyond the grave, beyond death. Now, we all die because of sin, and that's Adam and Eve in the very beginning. They sinned against God, and death came, and sickness and problems. All the trouble we have is because of ourselves. But God in mercy and grace sent this one whom they could find no fault with, like a spotless Lamb of God to die on the cross for our sins. But, you know, it wouldn't end right there. 3 days later, up from the grave he would arise in order that you and I might have eternal life. So the witnesses came, they said that about him. But then later on in our section right there, the priest got angry, okay? Verse 63, the high priest, because Jesus held his peace. He didn't speak out. You know, Jesus could have said all kinds of brand new things if he wanted to, back to these men and condemned them all. But he kept silence. Until the high priest did this, I adjure thee by the living God, I'm in the middle of verse 63, that thou tell us whether thou be the, notice, the Christ, number one, the Son of God, number two, and then Jesus opens his mouth. Thou hast said, almost to say, you've already said it. What you've said is true. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the, here's a third name, Son of Man, sitting on the right hand of power. Folks, that's a reference to the God of all the universe right there. I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father up in heaven. And coming in the clouds of heaven. Just as the Old Testament scriptures and the prophets talked about, the king is coming. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to destroy the wicked and set up his kingdom here on this earth. Jesus answered all of those things in just one response back to the chief priest. The chief priest asked him, are you the Christ? The word Christ means anointed one. Or the Old Testament word for it is Messiah. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that the prophets promised would come and deliver Israel out of all her troubles? He did not deny it. And he said, are you also the Son of God? Old Testament scriptures and prophets talked about how that a son is given. Unto us a son is given. And they'll call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Do you hear the word El on the end of that? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means to remain. To dwell with. And you put it together with El, which means the name for God. Emmanuel means God with us. So when he says, I want to know, are you saying of yourself that you're the Son of God? Thus you're the Emmanuel that Isaiah spoke of, born of a virgin. They didn't even want to receive the truth that he was virgin born. Earlier in his ministry, they questioned even that. And they said, what city are you out of? No good thing came out of Galilee. Yeah, but he started in Bethlehem. Jesus didn't deny that he was the Messiah, the Christ. He didn't deny he's the Son of God. In fact, he added another term. He said, ye shall see the Son of Man. Now that's also prophesied that this one who would come, this Messiah, this Son of God, would also be very man at the same time. And he would have hands and feet that they would pierce. And that's foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. Hundreds of years before Jesus came and fulfilled all those things. It even says some of the things he would say on the cross. In just a few hours he'd be calling out these names, these phrases from the cross, which David spoke about in the book of Psalms. He did not deny any of those things. Jesus held his peace. He never wasted any words. That's why I like the Bible. And you know what I believe about the Bible? That God has preserved every single word that came out of his mouth to us to this very day. And there are some words, even in this passage I read to you, that in the new modern versions of the Bible, like the NIV, the NASV, Revised Version, all these new fancy versions, have left out several things out of this very passage I just read to you. God has preserved it for us in English, in our King James Bible. It's different than all the rest of the Bibles. And I like that. Jesus never wasted any words, and God never wastes any words either. And the ones that he has spoken have been preserved for us to this very day. Everything that Jesus said there was meant on purpose to shut the mouths of these men, these accusers, these false witnesses. To be Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man is to be equal with God. Not only did Jesus proclaim that, but the ones listening accepted that as blasphemy. If what you just said, Jesus, is true, and if it's not true, you've blasphemed, making yourself equal to God. They knew what the scripture taught concerning the Messiah and how David called him Lord. The passages where Jehovah speaks as Messiah, as far as his accusers were concerned, that's enough. We don't need any other witnesses. He's blasphemed himself. But you know what? My Lord and Savior was just telling the truth. He was telling the truth. Well, how do you know he was telling the truth? Can anyone else make a blind man see? Can anyone else raise a child from the dead and give him back to his mother? Can anyone else raise someone from the dead like Lazarus? Can anyone else speak in such a way that men, as they stand there in front of him, walk away from the stoning of that woman taken in adultery, as they were all convicted in their minds that they were all sinners, just as bad as the woman they were about to? And one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, they kept walking away till all that was left was that woman and Jesus, whom she then called Lord. Is there anyone else like that? No. And oh, how he would even go to the cross for these men who are now going to take a vote. They're going to take a vote. They're going to take a poll. You know, we're in that time of the election process, aren't we? What do the polls say? We shouldn't care what the polls say. You all individually need to determine for yourself who to vote for. Okay, there's my opinion concerning politics, all right? But here they were going to take a poll on Jesus. And verse 66 says, what think ye? You know, what difference does it make what these guys think? There stands the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of Man. No witness could come forth with anything to accuse him of. The only thing they could accuse him of is the truth. And they were going to put him to death for the truth. The truth that he spoke. They answered in verse 66, he is guilty of death. You know, people don't respect truth. They don't respect truth today. They'll believe a lie. They'll believe in evolution. They'll believe that we're just talking about these babies in the womb here this morning. They're not really human yet until they reach a certain... Until that time, you can abort them anytime you want to. Just kill them. They're real. They're people. When Jesus was in the womb of Mary, I'm glad abortion wasn't a thing that they would do. When Jeremiah was called of God while he was in the womb to be a great prophet, one of the greatest prophets of Israel... Men don't like the truth. And not only that, they mock the truth. The next two verses, they spit in his face, they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, and they, well, I have a little fun here. Prophesy unto us. Who is he that smote thee? I mean, there's so many people slapping him. Give us the name of the person who just hit you. He knows every name of everyone's hand that hit him. In fact, he's got it written down in a book. It's written down in a book. And that book's not a good book to have your name in. I got my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh boy. Then, let's go on. Verse 69. Let's go back to Peter again. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. That's number one. Number one. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Number two. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The cock's message. Wow. It's amazing how God can use even animals of his creation to get his message across. How many remember the story of the donkey who spoke? Why are you hitting me? The funniest thing is the prophet talks back to the donkey, carries on a conversation with him. Well, why shouldn't I hit you? You pressed my leg against the stone. That's the funniest part to me, is that the man actually continued on to talk to the donkey. I think to me, I can't believe a donkey talking. No, I have a reason for, you know, talking back to him. That is just so funny. Shows you the way men think. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How about the lions and Dan, and that with Daniel? He wouldn't allow those lions to open their mouth and eat that meal, that juicy Jewish boy that was down there. No, can't eat tonight. They all got lockjaw all of a sudden. But the next day, when they threw in all of Daniel's accusers, those people were torn apart ere they hit the bottom. So don't tell me that the lions had just ate, and that's why they didn't eat Daniel. They probably had saliva coming out all over the place all night long, looking at Daniel, that sweet morsel. And they couldn't do anything, as the angel of God was with him. It's just amazing how the nature and animals, how about the fish? All night long, they stayed away from Peter, James, and John's nets. All night long. Jesus comes walking on the water. Put your nets on the other side. And all the fish said, all right, jump in. Get in there. Stuff yourselves in there. This is going to be the biggest catch these guys ever had. And the cock crew. I don't know, how'd God do that? Stick them in the back or something? You know. Well, it was early morning still. And that's what roosters are good at, waking everybody up, you know. And waking Peter up from his denial. I think sometimes we need a good old cock crowing to wake ourselves up in this day and age when they all want to accuse our Lord and Savior and they want to reject the message of salvation given in here. There is the message of salvation right there standing in front of everybody. And Peter denied his Lord three times. You know, there are steps down for Peter and there are steps up for Peter. Let's look at the negative side first, all right? Then I'll give you the positive before we leave here this morning. Steps down. Number one, self-confidence. Oh, though everybody else is offended, I'll not be offended, Lord. Failure to watch. In the garden, Jesus said, you guys stay here. I'm going to go on over there and pray. You watch for me. because they're coming to arrest me. You watch for me. He didn't say that about they're coming for me. He just said, watch. He went and prayed, came back. They were asleep. Woke them up. Stay awake. I'm going to go a second time. Came back. They're asleep. A third time. Isn't it interesting? Three times. Wow. Three persons of the Godhead. Three denials on the part of Peter. Three times the Lord goes to his Father up in heaven about the cross. I'm glad that Jesus didn't say to the Father, I can't go through with this. But while he was going through all that agony, Peter was sleeping, along with the other disciples. Came back the third time, there he was sleeping. He said, sleep on. And then the arrest takes place. A third thing, failure to pray. He should have prayed with the Lord there. Failure to pray. I wonder, is some of these things some of the same things that we do? Self-confidence. Well, I'll be a Christian and I'll show everybody. You're better off saying, if the Lord helps me, I will live for him today. The Spirit of God gives me strength. I will do what I need to do today. Failure to watch. I'm going to watch. Keep my eyes open. Be circumspect. You need to watch. You know why? Because Satan, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And oh, he devoured Peter that day. That's for sure. Using the arm of the flesh. Out comes the sword. You know, some Christians want to do the fighting instead of doing the serving and suffering. Jim read in 1 Peter there how that we have to suffer a while. And then we'll be made perfect. Some Christians want to get out there and fight, you know. Well, we have our rights. You don't have a right to tell us we can't preach the gospel. You know what? We're going to preach the gospel even when they say you don't preach the gospel anymore. We're going to keep on preaching the gospel. We're not going to stop. No matter what. We need to be just like Peter said. I won't be offended. You know, those are good words that Peter said. There's nothing wrong with that. Except he was in the flesh here. And following Jesus afar off, it says. It's interesting how it says that. He was watching, but he was afar off. You know, are you watching the things of Christ going on all around you, but you're kind of like standing afar off, not willing to get in, get in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ? I encourage you and exhort you, get in. Get in, get close to the Lord. Live for him. Enjoy the new life in Christ. Don't follow afar off. And then the next thing, down he goes. He's sitting down among the lost. There he is around the fire, warming himself with all these other lost people. It's easy for me to say this, but where should Peter have been? Right there at Jesus' side. Right there. And when the chief priest asks, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? He sure is. You know what I saw him do? On and on. You know what I heard him say? But there he is, afar off, sitting down among the lost. And then lastly, this is as far down as you can go. Outright denial of the Lord. I don't know him. Three times in a row. And the third time, he just got so angry about it that he said, you know what? I'll just have to show them I'm not with him. And he started cursing and swearing like the lost do. I don't think it has anything to do with any other kind of oaths or anything. He just was trying to make them see, I'm just like all you guys. Cussing and cursing and swearing. By the way, Christians need to ask the Lord to help them get rid of cursing and swearing. There's all kinds of words that can be considered cursing and swearing, and you need to get them out of your vocabulary. Even taking the name of the Lord in vain. Slang words, euphemisms. Gee, golly, gosh, heck, damn. You know what? Those are not good words for Christians to be using. What's wrong with gee golly God? Those are all names for God. I never heard that before. Do you have a Webster's Dictionary at home? No, I don't. Go buy one. Or go to the library and look up gee, golly, gosh. And then come back and talk to me. Okay? You need to clean your mouth. Peter said, the only way I'm going to prove to them that I'm not one of Jesus' disciples is to act and sound like the lost. And sometimes we do the very same thing. All right, we got Peter all the way down on the bottom looking up. There's just no further way for him to go down. He's denied the Lord. The cock crew, he went out, he remembered. You know what really is? No, I'll get to that in just a moment. Steps up. Let's get Peter back up, okay? How did he ever get back up? Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. But I'm praying for you. Amen. Jesus interceded for Peter. And if you're down and out and looking up, even if the people in your church have kind of forgotten about you, I'm going to tell you someone who hasn't. In other words, if you are truly born again and have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, is it possible for a Christian to get that far down? Yes. Yes. But he doesn't lose his salvation. You still belong. You still belong to God through Jesus' blood. I like that song we sang. When I stand before that throne, I stand in him complete. You just sang that today. I stand in him complete. What was that song?
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. I stand in him complete. So did Peter. He's complete too. Remember when Jesus wanted to wash their feet? He said, oh, give me a complete bath, Lord. The Lord said, no. Those who have already been washed don't need a complete bath, but you do pick up stuff every day, and I want to clean your feet. A lot different. In other words, you know what? I don't believe once you're saved, you can ever be lost. The Bible teaches everlasting life, eternal security. But you know what? A Christian can pick up dirt along the way, and you need to get cleansed. And you know, Jesus said, Peter, when Satan gets you into his sift, and he sifts you, I'm going to be praying for you. And he prays for you too. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The next step up is, and I want to take you here, this causes me to cry every time. Luke 22. Go to Luke 22. Maybe I won't cry this time, okay? I'll try not to. Luke 22. Luke 22. And go all the way to verse 61. This is in the same parallel passage as Matthew, Mark, and John about the denial of Peter. But oh, this is tough. Luke 22, verse 61. The previous verse says, immediately while he spake, the cock crew. All right, so you know where you're at. All right, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow. How would you like to be Peter right about now? Right then and there. Here you are warming your hands at the fire and you've just denied him three times. And here's the Lord in the midst of this trial with all these false witnesses and they're blaspheming and buffeting him in the face and everything. And you know what Peter's doing and you just have to turn. Did you ever get a look like that from Jesus? He's trying to wake you up. He's trying to get your attention from afar off. So the second thing up for Peter was the look of Christ. You say, wow, I don't know. Oh, you can be sure Peter never forgot that. Never forgot that stare, that gaze. You know, if Peter really wasn't of interest to Jesus, why even bother turning back and looking at him at this point? He's denied you. Excuse me. I said I wouldn't cry, but I didn't say my nose wouldn't run. Oh, imagine that. I'm going to tell you what. If you're here today, after having disappointed the Lord at all in your life since you've been saved, then you've had that look. You've had that look somewhere along the line. You said, well, he's not even here. Yeah, well, he does it in his own ways, like through here. Gary, look at what that says there. And you just denied me. You just didn't live the way you should. You and the Spirit of God causes Jesus to be able to look at you just like he did to Peter that day. How you doing? I hope you're on the steps up here, all right? Jesus interceding, the look of Christ. And then in Mark 16, verse 7, we don't need to go there, but the ladies who went to the tomb of Jesus when he rose up from the grave, the angel said, I have a message for you. You go back to the disciples and you tell them, I want to meet them in Galilee. And Peter. And Peter. So the ladies went back, told all the guys, Peter, by the way, your name was singled out. Jesus wants to see you. And in Luke 24, verse 34, the women came and gave a report and said, two men saw him, we saw him, and he met with Simon, which is another name for Peter. Peter had a private meeting with the Lord. Private. Have you ever had a private meeting with the Lord, Christian? Huh? Have you ever had that time? Oh, I tell you what, the Lord wants to have a private meeting with you. I always was upset when I had done something wrong during the day while my dad was at work, and my mom would say, that's right, Margo. You wait till your father gets home. And I was having a private meeting with my dad. And meeting usually didn't end so well. But I'm sure glad I had them. Sure glad I had them. How about you, Margo? Are you glad you had some of those? Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you heard me.
I heard. I was waiting for someone to fill it in. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Boy, those are some of the best. You know what? Amazingly enough, those are the ones I remember the clearest. Of me dancing around on the end of my dad's paddle, or his, you know, he had a big black belt. And that's not karate, that's just a black leather belt. He'd start taking that off. Oh, boy. They don't do that today, do they? People get in trouble doing that today. I think we're suffering the consequences of that, okay? There's another opinion from your pastor on that. Then, in John chapter 21, the Lord says to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Remember that? Lovest thou me more than these? Oh, Lord, Peter says, thou knowest that I love thee. And he used a different word for love there, one that was just a little step lower. And the Lord said again, lovest thou me? Oh, Lord, you know. Ooh. And the Lord used the most important word, lovest thou me, in the best way you can. And Peter, he couldn't ascend to that. He had to just say, thou knowest that I love thee. Do you love the Lord? I hope you do. I know Peter couldn't arise at that occasion, but he soon would show his love, his agape love for Jesus. And then Jesus said in that same place, feed my sheep. You know what? Peter's kind of getting back to where he needs to be. This is after the resurrection, Lord, just before the Lord went back. And then he also said, follow thou me. Jesus, why would you want this guy to follow you? He just denied you 3 times. Yeah, well, I paid for it all at Calvary. I paid for it all. And I conquered the wages of sin, which is death, by rising up from the grave. And this man, Peter, belongs to me. I paid for all of his sin. Peter, you love me? Thou knowest that I love thee. All right, then feed my sheep and follow thou me. And then we'll close with this. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. How'd Peter do? Acts chapter 2, just one verse here and then one verse in 4. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord's ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit of God has come upon the servants of the Lord. Look at verse 14. But Peter, and I like this, standing up, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And if you're familiar with the rest of it, you know he preached. 3,000 people responded to the gospel that day and got saved. Over to chapter 4. Over to chapter 4. Verse 8. Another time when they got a chance to preach, they were arrested, him and Peter and John. And then in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And many got saved that day too. All I wanted to show you was Peter's okay now. He's back in fellowship with his Lord and Savior. I want to ask you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, where are you in these steps of Peter's denial? Are you on the way down? Are you already all the way at the bottom? Are you stepping up? Do you realize how Jesus intercedes for you, loves you, wants you? He's not giving up on you. You might say, I can't serve the Lord now. I've done too many. Take heart in Peter, okay? Stand up and let's serve the Lord together. Maybe Jesus is looking at you right now. Maybe his eyes are upon you. And I would say, respond to that. If you're saved, you haven't been serving the Lord the way you should, be exercised by the things that Peter went through and get back on good ground with the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. It'd be the best thing you've ever done since getting saved. Now, if you're here today, you say, you know what? A lot of these things you're talking about, I hear you talking to those believers. I don't really remember a time when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'd say the Lord is looking at you right now too, saying, will you trust me for eternal salvation? Will you let me take all that sin away and declare you justified before my Father? How do you do that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how you do it. What do I have to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I see your name out on the board. It says Ray Street Baptist Church. Do I need to be baptized? No. What do I need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what you need to do. Let's take our hymn book. Jason, would you come? 562. If you're here today and need help trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you step out, meet me down at the front, and we'll have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior. If you're already saved, and you know the Lord is your personal Savior already, and you say, you know, I've really failed the Lord in a lot of ways. I really think I'm just like Peter. As we sing this song, this is an invitation for lost people to get saved, but as we sing it, why not get back in fellowship with the Lord, Christian, and determine I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. Let's stand as we sing, number 562. You come if you need salvation, 562. Anyone that will listen as we go our way, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.